session number 27247, reel 9.
Mr. Frank Borlée, reel 9. Now, we're talking about this time when you were a regimental policeman at Cowley Barracks, Oxford, in, what, 47-ish?
Yes.
And what? Not much happening here,
no,
you say?
No, just normal. Met my wife, who was a milk delivery girl, with a horse and cart, who I've been happily married to now for 53 years.
You got married while you were in the army?
No. No, I wouldn't get married whilst I was in the army.
So what happened next then?
Well, I just finished out my time there.
So when were you demobilised?
March 48.
Was there any particular procedure? I mean, what do you remember? I mean, you know.
I went down to Aldershot and got kitted out with a new suit, shoes, socks, civilian stuff. As I say,
when was I found the suit any good?
Pump?
Suit any good? Did you wear it?
My dad had it, and he had my shoes as well.
So they weren't to your taste?
Oh, well, not. No, I had a tailor-made hopsack suit. I always remember that.
Had you thought of staying in? You were a regular,
yeah.
I presume you could have.
Yeah, I did. I had serious, very, very serious thoughts about that. But I'd met my wife then. Well, my girlfriend, she was in.
And why did you decide not?
Well, I was 26 years of age then. My wife was 18. And I thought I'd like to get married and settle down, have a try, which I'm very grateful I did.
So what were you going to do? I mean, what job were you going to do?
Well, I had no job. I had no idea. And then...
What about this?
I was going to say, now, the sign writing come in. My friend, who was on holiday, a footballing holiday, he was playing for Bradford City, Greenwood, Ron Greenwood. I saw him in Wembley. He said, well, my dad can give you a job. His father was in charge of all the painting at Wembley Stadium. So I went and see Sam Greenwood, who I knew because he was the manager of our little football team before the war. And he said, well, we've got to rewrite all the signs, all the exit signs, all the old... go over the top of all the old exit signs and etc, etc for the Olympics, 48 Olympics. So I went back to Wembley Stadium, went to work for Wembley Stadium.
As a sign writer?
As sign writing, rewriting the signs for the Olympics.
And you hadn't lost your skills over the
Evidently not. I had to borrow all the brushes, that I do know. Didn't have none of my own.
And were you happy on it again?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You didn't want to go back to steel erecting, did you?
Oh, Christ, no, that's the last thing I wanted. I knew if I went back to steel erecting, I wouldn't be at home half the time.
So how did your career as a signwriter go?
Well... it went along quite well. I didn't get on all that well with a couple of the chaps there. Georgie Pink and one or two others. And decided that I'd go and try and work for myself. Somebody said that, well, decorators were always wanted. So I got in touch somewhere along the line with two Scots fellas, who came from East Sheen, called themselves the Middlesex Paint Craftsmen. And when they found out that I knew all the basics, for instance, of gilding and shading, etc., I went to work with them.
As a painter and decorator, well, more
well, we used to do, in those days, as there wasn't no wallpaper, we used to use Artex and then make the design in the Artex, i.e. bunches of flowers on the walls in some pub. When we used to do pubs, the Royal William, for instance, we'd made a galleon.
And was that, I mean, we get you back into civilian life, was that the career you set up in?
That's what I wanted. And then I worked for them quite, then wallpaper came back into vogue. There was wallpaper after war. And I went hanging wallpaper. And I'd done that for the rest of my life.
Now, how did you settle back to civilian life? You've been in the army a long time. I mean,
I had no problems because, one, I was going to get married. I was looking forward to that. Got married.
No trouble with the settling down after, you know?
No, we had a kiddie had a daughter within about, 16, 17 months of getting married. Only had the one child. And had a flat in Kingsbury. Lived in that flat, believe it or not, for 42 years.
So there's never any, you never had the itchy feet again or to go back to the army. Now, one thing we are interested in is your contacts with your old comrades and you have an association. Can you tell us just a bit, just to finish up about that, why it's important to you?
Well, the relationship between these comrades, as I say, was mostly the boys' battalion, the KRRs, and we had a very, very deep affection for each other, that I'm sure of.
Did you have your own association?
Well, we got together through the Ox and Bucks Light Infantry Old Comrades Association to meet up again, because we had to have, in those days, we all didn't have telephones or such as that. And any correspondence we had to do was always by writing. So we got together, I think the first full meeting we had, I know, was 1964, after the war. I have a photograph of it, which is Jack Bailey, Paddy O'Donald, Bill Gray, Nobby Clark, Claude Godbold, Johnny Driscoll, Harry Clark. That's in that first photograph. And from there, we built up. We couldn't find Watson. We couldn't find... Yes, I found Freddie Fry afterwards. Fry. He was one that Howard chucked out of our platoon. We went into another company and really, really shone in action. He ended up losing his hand. And then, because right out come the Airborne Forces Association, which we all joined. From the Airborne Association, we had our first meeting, I don't know when it was, at Aldershot. But at that Aldershot meeting, I know for a fact there was 19 of us.
All from D Company?
Mostly from D Company. Claude Godbold, well, what you've got to take into mind, some of them, Harry Clark, for instance, he'd come from 24 to make up somebody in 25. And you've got to bear in mind that Smokey Howard went from 25 to 24. But I got a photograph of us all there. And from that, we started meeting in Oxford on the Armistice Saturday, stopping at the barracks overnight for the armistice meeting on the Sunday morning. Then we had Aldershot Open Day, which we went to every year. And then one or two had already been back to Normandy. Well, quite a lot. Jack Bailey had been there quite a time. He'd actually lived at Pegasus Caff, Jack, during his leave, because he was another regular army soldier. John Bull. I think John Bull was the longest serving company sergeant major in the British Army. John Bull, he'd done 43 years. He was another boy, but he come from a boy's guards. He come from the Coldstreams.
And you're still meeting today, aren't you?
Still meeting today.
Why is it so important to you? I mean, it's fairly about.
Well, I think the second injection we had in was a young man called Jeff Balk, who lives at Bletchley Park, who was very organised in the Pegasus Bridge, very interested in the Pegasus Bridge from about the age of 11. And he, over the years, he's got us together at Bletchley Park. We now go to Winchester with him each year because he's...
But why? Why is it so important to
you? I don't know. It's just something that more or less I'm doing second nature. I think it's nice to meet them. We've met their wives, their children have grown up and gone to university. Got my own. Let me see, my daughter went to I've got a grandson now taking law at Southampton. You know, it's just one of those things.
Thank you very much.